I'll start by reading Kaufman's comment on the text of Daniel chapter 4, verses 8 through 18 that I did not get to last week. So Kaufman wrote about the dream as told to Daniel. The fact that Daniel heard the dream told here for the first time surely indicates that he had not been present earlier when the king told his dream to the other men. Now, about the statement, let seven times pass over him, and what does that mean? Kaufman said, it is a fact, of course, that seven times here has a variety of possible meanings. The expression appears to be a local term to Babylon and could possibly refer to days, months, weeks, or years. So, it was not a common term. Now, it was a common term to Babylon at that time frame, but it's not common to have been used any other time. So, Buck Kaufman says, however, there can be little doubt that the expression as used here means 7 years. And his reasoning is the Septuagint translates it as years. And so the Septuagint was written by the Hebrew scholars. They translated the Hebrew into Greek. So they were both Hebrew and Greek scholars, but these were Israelites. And they translated times as years. So that's a great source. And then, number two, Josephus also stated that the expression meant 7 years. Certainly neither days, weeks, nor months would have allowed enough time for the developments that followed. So you have these two sources that said that these seven times meant 7 years. So if it was good enough for them, I think that's good enough for us. Kaufman continues, the heavenly information revealed to the king regarding the judgment that was to fall upon him was announced to him in a way to be understood by Nebuchadnezzar as divine judgment. So, Daniel is telling him that this is God punishing you for your arrogance. And at the end of the chapter, King Nebuchadnezzar realizes this and acknowledges that it was his arrogance that brought on the need for this judgment that God placed on him, this sentence. Daniel most certainly corrected any false notion the king might have had about the source of the decision against him, and he clearly indicated that the decree came from the Most High God. This statement from verse 17, I will read this. In order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, about that the living may know, God's purpose was to spread the true knowledge of Himself throughout the whole Gentile world of that era. This purpose required the necessity for such a miracle as is recorded here. So, here these Israelites, God was punishing them. He had them placed into captivity among these pagans, but He wanted these pagans to also know that He was the one true and living God, and all these idols that they were worshiping were false gods. So that was important to God to pass on, and this is one of the ways. Now, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was another way. And then with Daniel in the lion's den, that was another way. So there were multiple ways, but God turning King Nebuchadnezzar into a beast for 7 years, this is another way that God was letting the people of Babylon know that He's the one true and living God, and the only powerful God. The others had no power of any sort. The king, of course, cooperated with this about spreading through the whole kingdom of Babylon that God is the one true and living God. So King Nebuchadnezzar cooperated with this by giving the decree the widest possible circulation. The purpose of the king's dream and the decree that followed was to make known the supremacy of the one true and living God worshipped by the Hebrews. That is the importance of what this dream was, or as far as this decree that is written in chapter 4, and it was spread out through the whole Babylonian Empire for them to realize that here the king is even acknowledging that the Hebrew God, as they would look at it, was the one true and living God. Okay. Now we will start with verse 19, where we left off last week. So Daniel 4:19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, and now we remember this from chapter 1. Belteshazzar was the Babylonian name that they renamed all of these Hebrews, and this was from a pagan idol, idol god. So this is really a bad name. But anyway, for clarification, so everyone knows who he's talking about, because this is going through widespread distribution among the Babylonians. So he's given both names, Daniel and Belteshazzar, so everyone knows who he's talking about. So Daniel was astonished for a time, and his thoughts troubled him. So the king spoke and said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation trouble you. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, may the dream concern those who hate you and its interpretation concern your enemies. So, of course, Daniel, whenever God revealed to him what this dream meant, that King Nebuchadnezzar was going to be turned into this beast of a creature for 7 years, it astonished, it shocked, and troubled Daniel. But King Nebuchadnezzar said, don't let this bother you. You just go ahead and tell me what God has told you. And he wanted to hear the truth, and he knew he was going to get it out of Daniel. Verse 20. The tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, whose height reached to the heavens and which could be seen by all the earth, whose leaves were lovely and its fruit abundant, and which was food for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, and in those branches the birds of the heaven had their home. So, talking about this great strong tree, it is you, O king, who have grown and become strong. For your greatness has grown and reaches to the heavens, and your dominion to the end of the earth. So, this big, massive tree that everyone is feeding, has shelter and protection and food from, that is King Nebuchadnezzar himself, symbolizing this great earthly empire that King Nebuchadnezzar has enjoyed by their conquerings. Verse 23, and inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, now this obviously is God, chop down the tree and destroy it. And so King Nebuchadnezzar is going to get chopped down. But leave its stump and its roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beast of the field till the seven times pass over him. The stump is going to be remained, and it's going to still get to collect the dew and get moisture. And so this tree is going to regrow, symbolizing that King Nebuchadnezzar will be restored to his kingship after this seven times. Verse 24, this is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. So this is Daniel letting King Nebuchadnezzar know that this punishment is coming from the Most High, the one true and living God, and this is what you're going to endure. 25, They shall drive you from men. So he's going to be kicked out of the palace because he's going to lose his mind and be turned into a beast. So the people are going to, he's not going to be able to stay in the palace. Your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and it gives to whomever he chooses. This is a punishment for the arrogance that King Nebuchadnezzar had and his refusal to recognize God as the one true and living God. And he's going to be this beast eating grass until he acknowledges and realizes that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. Verse 26. And inasmuch as they gave the commandment to leave the stump and roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you after you come to know that heaven rules. Then Daniel finishes up and he gives King Nebuchadnezzar some advice. And this is great advice for the king to adhere to. Now, we don't know if he accepted this or not. But Daniel tells him, therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Here's the advice. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. Okay, so I'm about to read Kaufman's comment on this, but just to explain what is going on here, Daniel is telling him to break off your sins by being righteous. So you need to repent from your sins and become righteous and start and show mercy to the poor. So I don't know. Obviously, he was very hard on the poor, as many rulers all through history have been. It seems like they're the hardest on the poor. Well, God obviously did not like that. Daniel is not telling King Nebuchadnezzar that you won't have to go through the punishment if you repent now and show mercy to the poor. It's that this may lengthen the period of your prosperity. So Daniel is saying you're still going to go through this, but my advice to you is you might can lengthen the time that this happens. It will put it off, will delay you turning into a beast if you can repent now and start being merciful to the poor. And not that he could avoid this judgment. He's not going to be able to avoid the judgment. This is just to delay the judgment and lengthen your prosperity, because he was enjoying prosperity then, and that would lengthen the time before this punishment. That's what Daniel is saying. And I'll read here about what Kaufman's comment about this. And at the end of this, he clarifies this in verse 27. But as far as the interpretation of the dream, Kaufman wrote, none of the monuments or inscriptions uncovered from the mud of Mesopotamia have any report of King Nebuchadnezzar's terrible malady. None of the archaeologists have found any record that King Nebuchadnezzar turned into a beast, lost his mind. They haven't found anything. But Kaufman said, how can anyone on earth suppose that King Nebuchadnezzar would have erected a monument memorializing that awful malady? So he's saying that he wouldn't have had this recorded anyway. No king would have wanted this recorded outside of, now it is recorded in this decree, but they did not have it, he didn't have a monument erected about it or anything that way. And then the people were probably ashamed of this, that their king had to be humbled by the one true and living God. They didn't record, or the archaeologists haven't found anything recorded. That's not that they didn't record it, they haven't found it. And then Kaufman says, despite that, however, the king did publish the decree which we have before us in the historic book of Daniel. So that's where it did get preserved for all time, was in the book of Daniel. And I guess I'll go ahead and mention Kaufman supposed that Daniel very likely helped King Nebuchadnezzar write this chapter and this decree that's put in this chapter. So this whole decree, Kaufman felt like Daniel's hand was in this and helped King Nebuchadnezzar with this. And maybe, you know, very likely he probably did. Now, on this verse 27, Daniel's great advice to the king, Kaufman said, the thought here is not that if the king repented from his sins, this might prevent the judgment that God had sentenced him to endure, but that the onset of it might be delayed. So, if you go ahead and repent now, then the onset of you turning into a beast will be delayed. This is what is meant by a lengthening of your prosperity. Any questions or comments on this?